What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year's Eve.
Indeed. So a pretty slow day for you at work yesterday, huh? Not much happening?
Nothing really happens around here at all.
Yeah. So I know there are lots of stories out there, and we've talked about the plane and everything, but does it just kind of feel like this thing has been broken for a while and either side was just looking for that one more thing to be like, let's just be done with this?
And I don't think they needed to look for one more thing. Right. I think this was inevitable. I think possibly they would have held their breath and finished out the season, hoping that he had stayed healthy so they could come to this conclusion before the start of the next league year. But I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think there was any way he was on this team for 2026. So I just felt like everything they had gone through, all the shenanigans he had pulled, that they were just out on him. And this just gave him one more reason to move on. We sit here and we talk about culture, right? And everybody wants to know about culture. Well, one guy doesn't want to participate in the culture, or maybe two guys didn't want to participate in the culture, one before the season started and one before just the season ends. And maybe that improves the culture in that locker room.
You know what? I was able to read through that coded language and figure out who you were talking about. You've done this for a long time. You've talked with people before they got contracts, after they got contracts. Is there any way to really, really tell if a player or a person is like just innately driven before you give them a contract extension? Like, sorry if that sounds rude to Trayvon Diggs, but I feel like there's a lot of people out there who they would be like, I'm playing for the team, but I'm also playing for me. Like, if somebody slights me, I don't care. I'm going to be back out on that field, and I'm going to try to be as good as I can. Versus I know a lot of people think that once he got paid, he was like, whatever.
And I think a lot of that goes into the decision if you are going to pay guys big money on long term. Do I trust this guy that he's going to continue to play football, to play at the level that has earned him the right to ask for this type of guaranteed money? And I think that they, kind of worked their way through it and said, yeah, we think so. And then I know injuries got in the way. But you get the feeling that it was take my money and run, right? And I think that was one of the decisions they had to make on Micah Parsons. I think they were very worried that if they guaranteed him that type of money, was he going to be a team player? Was he going to be part of this organization? And you heard Jerry talking about it over and over again. If I'm paying a player that much money, he's got to be a leader. He's got to be a Michael Irvin type or a Troy Aikman type or a Dak Prescott type, right? And I think that they were kind of leery that he was going to do that. Now, he made it look like he was when he started hanging out with the team, staying in the locker room, playing ping pong. But he didn't do any of that stuff previously.
Right.
He didn't even work out with the team in the off season previously. And if you're going to pay a guy that much money, you better do that.
Okay.
Well, they paid him that much money, and he forfeited $500,000,
right,
because he wanted to work out privately on his own. So that speaks volumes of where he was. And I'll guarantee you, that when they saw that the guaranteed money had run out and they could get out of this for $5.8 million for the remainder of the prorated signing bonus, it was like, okay, we just need one more excuse and end it earlier than they probably had already decided.
So I definitely hear what you're saying, especially about the Cowboys' philosophy. I guess sometimes I do really wonder, do you think that the Cowboys make a mistake by sometimes expecting players who, like you were saying, maybe haven't shown that leadership to start being more of a leader because they got paid? That feels like a fundamental flaw in logic.
No, I think that one of the reasons, he was kind of fine for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as he got the contract, you know, look, I know this isn't a big deal, and I keep repeating this, but for some reason it sticks in my throat. Watching last year, maybe some of the previous year, when they're out doing their pregame or pre-practice stretch and everybody's lined up in their position order on the field doing it, and Diggs and Parsons are off on the side doing their own thing.
Right.
It just struck me as wrong. Are you a part of this team or not? And I know for a fact that John Fossil was one of them to call them out. He called them out and said, are you part of this damn team or not? Because what are you doing over here? No one else wanted to confront him, right? Well, I think they needed to be confronted. And so, everybody wants to talk about culture. Well, okay, here's your culture. You're part of the team or you're not. And now he's not. And somebody else can inherit the headache as far as I'm concerned.
And speaking,
ooh, there's some fire right there.
I love it. And speaking of dealing with that headache, I feel like the headache was alleviated a lot because maybe Al Harris was a big advocate for Trayvon Diggs and obviously a big part of his success when he was here. Do you think Trayvon losing an advocate and somebody that can represent him in a good light like that kind of wrote off his time here? Because I thought the writing was on the wall when Al Harris left that things might be different around here, and you start to hear that maybe his connections weren't the best around here too. Do you think that played a part in it?
How'd you get so smart?
Oh, man.
I try, Mick. I listen to you. That's how I got smart.
I agree with you on that totally, and wouldn't be surprised if he advocates it for him again at the end of 24 hours, right?
Right, yeah.
And here's the other thing. You know, if you pick him up.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you picking him up just for the playoffs, one game in the playoffs? Because he's got no more guarantees in his base salaries, so you wouldn't owe him anything other than a game check and whatever the playoff share is if you claim him on waivers now. And if you don't and he goes unclaimed, then you can sign him to whatever for one game. And say, okay, you know, we're going to give you a chance to resurrect your career. Now, does he want that chance? I don't know. But to me, when he got the opportunity to play, it just seemed half-hearted to me. I just didn't see the level of play that we were used to seeing from him. And here's another thing. He had that per-game bonus in his contract. He would make $58,800 per game being active.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
He ended up being inactive now, counting this week, 9 games. Wow. And that comes to $529,200 that he didn't earn because it was going to total $1 million. So they gotta pay that at the end of the year, and I believe it goes on next year, and fine. And then the $5.8 million of the prorated signing bonus that they still had to account for over the next 2 years. But they're off the hook on $14 million base salary.
Yeah.
I think all that goes together. But when you look at it in totality, I agree. I think Al Harris was kind of the buffer between him and whatever else was going on with the Cowboys. And let's remember, Brian Schottenheimer was here, right? He just didn't have a voice. You know, he was a consultant. Then he was the kind of offensive coordinator, but only in title only. But he saw stuff that was going on. He saw stuff going on with both of those guys. And I guarantee you, knowing him and just seeing how he's kind of portrayed himself to not only us, but the team, you know that had to bug him pretty badly, knowing how those guys were behaving.
Sure. Yeah. Now that...
So the whole thing about, you know, not on the plane, okay, fine. It just, you know, saved him $58,000.
Yeah. Mick, that's why I think this became a bigger story. I have assumed for some time that he would not be on the Cowboys in 2026. It was just the timing of it before the last game. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think most people think the roster move itself is a particular surprise whatsoever.
No, and you know what? I think had Deron Bland been healthy enough to finish out the season, they would have left him on injured reserve for the rest of the year.
Right.
Because when Jerry talked about health being part of the decision, it wasn't bad health. It was to keep good health so when they released him, they didn't have to account for any injury lingering on into the offseason. They wanted him healthy.
For sure. You know, we talked a lot about quarterback situation. I feel like we all have a good handle of how that's going to play out on Sunday. Is there anybody else in particular on the Cowboys that you think either A, is lined up to get more playing time, or B, you would want to see get maybe a few more snaps, a little bit more playing time on Sunday?
I think maybe the two rookie running backs.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind, you know, take a look at them. Now, a lot has to do with, I don't know if it does or not. Williams has had a wonderful season. I think he's already proven that they would like to re-sign him for next year, and he's got a shoulder. So do you move on and say, okay, Malik Davis, we think your eye's okay, that you can see well enough to play, but we're going to need another guy or two at the running back position. And maybe take a look at those guys, give them a series here, series there. I would like to see that because I still think, if Jaden Blue is growing up and understands the responsibilities of being in the NFL, he's got something to offer you. And it's something they need, I think, at the running back position or just on the offense to add more speed. And I think we saw it in training camp before he got hurt. Saw it briefly in some practices. Now let's take a look. Let's see. And I don't mean to use it at the detriment of trying to win the game because I still think it's important. And I know you guys don't, but that's okay. I just think if we're gonna do this and you want to see, then let's see with some things like that. Let's see the young linebackers out there. I'm good with that. I was going to say, and let's see some young cornerbacks. Well, that's all they got is young cornerbacks.
Right. You know, I know we've had the Darren Woodson conversation until we're blue in the face. We're in total agreement on that. To you, is Jason Witten a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because now he is in the finalist group as well.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would get in the way of Jason would be if Woody gets in and somebody's going to, oh, we're not putting two Cowboys in the same year. You know, that's kind of how those guys think.
Right.
Even if it's like wrong, if you deserve it, you deserve it. Right. Yeah. And you're right about Woody. I'm just so tired. It's like I'm blue in the face of arguing that deal. And it's like, I don't want to give up, but I just don't know anybody's listening.
Right. I'm with you.
And, you know, and if you look at Witten's career compared to other tight ends that got in, okay, so if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, he's a second ballot Hall of Famer for sure. And I think he's had that type of career. And if you look at some of the other guys, a part of the 15 in there, yeah, both of those guys deserve to be in. And I'm sure some of those other guys too, but some of them you just have to wait.
Yeah,
I think Woody, in his 18th year of eligibility and fourth time into the top 15, it's time now, and somebody needs to recognize it. Because if Steve Atwater is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then Woody should have been in 5 years ago.
Damn straight. I agree with that. Thank you very much, good sir. I do believe you'll get to talk more with Alec tomorrow.
All right. Well, I always enjoy talking with Alec.
There you go.
Thanks,
Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Now, Alec, we can have a conversation about this another day. You get a max, I believe, of 5 modern players into the Hall of Fame. I think Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald are locks.
Yeah.
My concern is Willie Anderson, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, and Adam Vinatieri were all in the final 7 last year. And so I'm like, ooh, so if they, I mean, even if that take, if 2 of them make it,
yeah.
So then you got 1 spot left. I think this is just criminal. I believe Darren Woodson will have to wait until the senior committee votes him in. I think it's wrong, wrong, wrong. It just feels like that's the way that it's going. And then the Cardinals signed tight end Rivaldo Fairweather off of the Cowboys practice squad. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, oh, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, what is a butt stunt double? And why did this world-renowned actor turn it down? Next on The Fan.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.